All right, welcome in. We are live. Minor Talk is here. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Sal Monta is my co-host in the house as well. We got Paige Wood, who's pinch hitting for UTEP Zay Galindo. She's in the house. Welcome here, Paige.
Thank you.
Eric's in the house as well, our intern here for the spring. We are live here, 915-505-6009, our telephone number to get into the program. Appreciate the messages that we're already getting in on the program. I'm seeing some here already from our man, JT Money, Jason Tafoya. He was like up 10 at the half. God bless. Talk about the second half slop. Yeah, I think JT Money summed it up perfectly here in the first half by the Miners because, you know, in the first half, I mean, UTEP looked great. They were rolling 31-21. They went zone on a lot of defensive possessions. I really like what they flexed out there. It looked like Jamal West Jr. was headed toward Conference USA Player of the Week honors after the first half. And then the second half, not enough firepower offensively. Really struggled to get anything going offensively. And as a result, the Bears march all the way back. They went on a 13-1 run over 5 minutes. And the Miners didn't score for over like 4.5 minutes. They were down 57-47. Remember, after leading at the half 31-21, so they were leading by 10 at the half, and then they relinquished that lead, and Missouri State went up by 10 on their side. But the Miners did rally back. It was a 10-3 run to close out the game by the Miners. And then they had, you know, last shot to try to win the game with Kasim Watson going for that three-pointer. Interesting they went with Kasim Watson over, you know, Elijah Jones to take that last bucket. It was the flu game for Kasim Watson in this one. 10 points, 3 of 10 shooting. Not a great offensive weekend for Kasim Watson, although I thought in the first half he was impactful off the bench. But Sal, we open up here on Minor Talk talking about a disappointing loss. I'm a little bit more grim than you. I thought UTEP had this one. And even when they were kind of coming back, I was like, wow, I kind of believe. Like, I think that UTEP can do it. Call me foolish, and I think our listeners would call me foolish as well based on the results from this team, which is now 7-13 overall. But you know, I thought the Miners had a chance here in this one, and I was pretty disappointed down the stretch that they couldn't close this out.
I understand that, especially because this is a good 3-4 game stretch, maybe 5 game stretch for the Miners, right, where they legitimately have a chance to win, or they've won the game and they've been in really good form lately, so I get that. However, on the flip side, a look at Missouri State, a team who's now in sole possession of second place in the conference, but a team that's been gelling for a good part of the year. So maybe their, you know what I mean, their form's just a little bit better than the Miners, even though the Miners have been solid, you know, to say the least. It's just a second place team. I can't see anything beyond that.
How about Michael Osei-Bonzu? I mean, that guy, 280 pounds, 17 points down low in the paint. Paige, he was an enforcer throughout this game for Missouri State.
He absolutely was, and it was so much fun for me to actually be in the stands today because I was kind of near the bench, and we had a UTEP player, number 23, or actually, no, I believe it was 25, and he turns and he looks at his friends and he goes, "That guy is big." And I just started busting out laughing. I thought, yeah, 280 can definitely get the job done there.
Yeah, I feel like with 280, you're talking about like a defensive lineman. You're talking about like a, you know, like a pass rusher right there. And yeah, for him to finish the game, 17 points down the low, feasting in the paint, I think that was a difference in the second half down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, I was disappointed by the Miners not rallying back in this one here, finishing this one, Missouri State with the win, 62-57. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600 ESPN El Paso, our app. You could chat with us in real time as well. We got a lot of messages to get to here on the program today. If you want to weigh in, this is a perfect time to do it, 915-505-6009. Leading scorer for the Miners tonight, today, Elijah Jones, 16 points, 5 of 11 from the field, 6 rebounds in total for him. He had 2 blocks, 36 minutes of action. He's probably your player of the game, but they still needed more from the trio of Jones, West Jr., who had 15 points, but 2 for 5 from the charity stripe. And, you know, that could be one of the differences of the game, is if UTEP was just a little bit better from the free throw line, made it to the free throw line a little bit more, could have been the difference in this game. And like I mentioned before, Kasim Watson with 10 points. Sal, they said he had like a flu-like symptoms or something like that. He was throwing up, according to Joe Golding, post-game, puking his guts out all game or whatever. And Kasim Watson struggles offensively, 10 points, 3 of 10. He didn't even go through warm-ups, though. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass here and give him some credit.
Yeah, and even on some possessions, you could see he was just a step behind. Defensively. So, I mean, you got to respect and admire the effort. And I think that just goes to show, like, how far Joe Golding is willing to go before he reaches beyond a certain part of the depth chart. So, I mean, you got to get what you could get. And the form that they've had recently, I can understand trying to put one of your best players out there for a potentially big win, right? We get it, but just couldn't happen today.
Paige, give me other takeaways you had from this one from the Miners. Just, unable to close out this one. They had a chance when it was all said and done. Kasim Watson takes the last shot. Were you good with that? And were you fine with their decision to go with him for
yeah,
the final bucket?
You know, and I'll give Kasim a little bit of credit here. Like you said, it was a flu game, and I feel like he had a couple of threes that were in those last minute moments that kind of got that momentum back again. I think it was 10 minutes left. He bumped up the score 43-42, and the crowd kind of went a little bit nuts after that. So I was thinking, okay, Kasim, there way to play in there. I think this one just came down to efficiency and free throws. Missouri State didn't shoot lights out, but they won margin plays. We look at rebounding, free throws, and just timely buckets. I think that's kind of what secured the win for them.
We'll welcome on King Eric onto the program, our spring intern who's with us as well. He's in the house. He got to watch this one from afar. Eric, your first takeaways from this one right here. Miners lose 62-57 to Missouri State.
Just, what could have been a tale of two halves, really, is what it was. The first half, UTEP looked great. They came out hot like they did against FIU. Looked like it was going to be one of those games. And I guess, just came back down to earth from there. You look at the stats, though. Only holding Missouri State to 28% from the field, that's pretty good. Considering you're shooting 45%, that's amazing.
In the first half, exactly.
But you look at the second half, Missouri State shoots a dramatic 65%. I mean, you can't have that happen. And to top that off, 57 from three, you can't have that happen compared to a 29% and only a 30% in the second half for UTEP. You got to clean that up. You got to make sure everything's consistent. Missouri State made the adjustments. Shout out to Missouri State for that. But yeah, just gut-wrenching.
When I think about the defense by the Miners in the second half, Sal, they flexed the zone in the first half, but they went more man to start the second half, and they closed the game out with some more zone play. By the way, they closed the game out with a lot of steals, so credit L.A. Hayes, who came off the bench and supplied some steals for the Miners. Three steals in this one, 7 points for him. He wasn't particularly great shooting, but he made all his free throws, 4 for 4 from the charity stripe for L.A. Hayes, but I felt like the Miners closed the game out better defensively. That defense was rolling when they were going with the zone. And then Missouri State, they were just kind of going back to the basket in the second half. Man-to-man coverage, they took advantage of that. And then they would find the open man. They would, drill these three-pointers. They were 4 for 7. I think Eric put it pretty well there. I mean, tale of two halves, if you really think about it. 28%. 9% from the perimeter, I should say, in the first half, and then that flips completely for the Bears, 65% from the floor, 57% from beyond the arc in the second half. I mean, the tale of two halves right here for the Bears.
And the scary part is they did it on fewer shot attempts. I think that's the impressive part. It's kind of like they were just taking whatever UTEP's defense was giving them, just really taking advantage of every opportunity. So it seemed like every play had two or three options, and it was kind of like pick your poison. And just going down low, I think that was the big part too. They were kind of getting out-hustled in transition, just looking a bit slower in the first half, and they're like, why are we playing fast? Let's just move it a little bit slower. And patience was good for them in the second half.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number here on Miners Talk 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. More tweets to get to here right now as we continue. Manny David checking in. This one got away in the second half. I still like their fight to try to keep it close at the end, though. Just got to forget about this one and focus on a tough La Tech team. Hashtag on to the next. Hashtag go Miners. Hashtag Miner Talk. I'll say this. If you wanted to be a Miner optimist, Paige, you might argue, well, UTEP had... If you think about the last game itself against the team that they just beat on Thursday, Florida International, they had three good halves going into the second half of basketball this entire week. So if they beat Louisiana Tech and Delaware next week, which are two beatable teams, maybe we feel better about UTEP moving forward, and you can kind of right the wrong that you had with this loss here against Missouri State.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always going to be an optimist for UTEP here. I know it's just tough season in and out with so many different sports, but I think leading into this one, UTEP needed to get off to a better start, and I believe that we saw that. You know, that perimeter shooting gap alone explained most of the 10-point lead that we had going into halftime. And I think coming in, we just needed to limit second-chance points. And I feel like there's just a way that they just can't quite close it out. Arguably for Missouri State, it's a four road game, like it's their fourth one. They should arguably be more tired, be more exhausted. So we kind of got to take advantage of those positions and find a way to manage it. I'm sure Coach Golding, again, last game, whenever I got to speak with him, he talked a lot about defense, and he was not happy going into that second half of the last game. And I think this time we got to see a little bit more improvements from that. But they definitely just got to find a way to keep scrapping in that second half and not just give it away.
Okay, Paige, tell me this. You're just barely here. You're doing the UTEP sideline gig year one here in El Paso. Barely here. UTEP women's golf, student athlete, but also helping out on the broadcast. And how is it that in just year one, Paige, UTEP is this bad in all these sports? 7-13 in basketball, and then yeah. Football went how it went. What happened, Paige?
Adrian, listen, I told you, I said, I think that I'm the problem. It's not even them at this point. It's me. I'm the new variable. What's going on here?
I know.
It's tough, but as a fan and as an athlete, I get it. You go through tough seasons, you go through tough games, and you just always got to try to look on the positive. And that's what I think some of these fans need to do. I know it's tough out here, but guys, just hang in there. Things can get better.
Wow. Okay, so Paige, the optimist here, after a loss here against Missouri State. But I don't blame you, Paige. I hear where you're coming from. And I think there are a lot of other fans like you, like Manny David just checked in. He says, you know, he's taking more positives from this one right here. Here's the other side to it, who is not taking positive. Poncho on Twitter and X, completely outcoached in the second half. Players didn't help by shooting 38%. They put together a good game and then fall apart in the next one. Shannon checked in. Every possession has to count. Every single damn one. Hashtag minor talk. Hashtag I cry orange. Pinky, only 6 made baskets in the second half. That's no scoring slump. Again, beat themselves up. Plus, an unforced turnovers. That changed the game. All right, Pinky, I got you. Let's go to Zay, who's joining us on the hotline right now, probably in the the break room at his other part-time job that he's he's at right now. But he's chiming in and checking into the program. Missouri State defeats UTEP 62-57. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. Zay, what's up, man? How's everything going?
Yeah, it's going good. And, yeah, I just wanted to chime in with my thoughts on the game because – I saw too much optimism. I was kind of disappointed in what I saw, especially in the second half with this team.
Are you more disappointed with us than you are at UTEP? Because I think I'm disappointed in myself that I believed again, Zay. I was roped back in.
I am disappointed because, you know, I told you last minor talk that they should win this game, but they're not going to. They can't put together four halves of good basketball. And you saw that, right? You saw that here tonight. They just struggled terribly offensively in that second half. Jamal West Jr., after a phenomenal 28-point game, just looked terrible today. I texted you. He had 5 turnovers. They tried to run the offense through him a lot in that second half, and that's why he struggled so much. So I was just disappointed from what I saw because I was starting to buy into the Kool-Aid too. You know, in that first half, I was thinking UTEP's going to make me eat my words. They're going to win, you know, 3 of their last 4, and everything's going to be all right. And then that second half hits, and it was just, you know, back to reality.
I'm disappointed, man. I'm disappointed this ended up being the case. Any final thoughts, Zay, before we let you go? I know you're busy right now, but I really appreciate you calling in after this one.
Yeah, I think they found something with that closing lineup, right? If you spread the ball out a little bit, L.A. Hayes needs to get more minutes. It's as simple as that. And hopefully, you know, these next couple of games, we'll see him maybe transition to maybe even being a starter over Caleb Blackwell.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens. Zay, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Sal, before we get to Hunter, who's joining us next, I'm excited to talk to Hunter here today. I got to get your thoughts. Is it us? Because are you more disappointed in us, a.k.a. me and Zay, for believing in a little bit? Or are you more disappointed in UTEP not closing out this game?
Nah, I'm more forgiving in you guys.
Okay, thank you.
I'm forgiving in you guys.
You're more disappointed in UTEP not closing this game.
I am. But at the same time, too, like, I'm not disappointed. Because going into this one, I know that Missouri State, really good team in Conference USA, who pulls out games like this, you know, in the minors, it's you're lucky if you have a chance, so to speak. And it's just hard to do it against a team that's done it more times than you that year. So not too much to take away from it, man. I'm not disappointed in them. But if there's a ratio or a measurement, more disappointment in them than you guys. Because you guys got a – it was like the dangling the carrot in front of your face. So
there you go.
I get it.
I will also say this. To your point, and you touched on this earlier, Missouri State starting to distance themselves in Conference USA, which is a bad conference. They're 6-3 in Conference USA. They're second place overall in this league. And they just swept the weekend. They came to Las Cruces, came to El Paso, and didn't make any excuses. They won both games against the Aggies and the Miners, which now is a perfect segue to welcome on Hunter on the program. I'm sure Paige will have a lot to chime in for this one right here. Hunter, the non-eternal optimist, not unlike Paige here, who's joining us here. Hunter, welcome back to the show. Thanks for calling in.
What's going on, man? What's going on, Paige? How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Hunter?
Oh, doing all right. I'm sorry I don't call in, dude. It's just everybody sounds like a broken record at this point because they are what they are, right?
I hear you.
Bad team.
No
bad
need to
team,
apologize.
Bad coach team, all that. You know, we'll just be saying the same thing after every game. You know, but, and Paige, she can be optimistic because she hadn't been around UTEP long enough to be eternally disappointed, right? Like we've lived through hardship for a long time now. You know what I mean? It's like we're like a what's that syndrome when you a Stockholm syndrome? You know, you kind of you feel sympathy for your captor there. But anyway, they don't have an identity, man. Who is this team? Like, what are they? Are they a tough, hard nosed, in your face team? Are they a fast paced team? Are they a shooting team? And one thing that made me call in that I think Paige touched on too is Missouri State's been on the road the whole time. They should have been tired, right? But UTEP is so easy to defend. Nobody has to work on the defensive end when UTEP's got the ball. There's a lot of standing. The ball's not moving. It's a lot of one-on-one garbage, and they just hope that someone makes a shot, you know? And you need some really talented guards if you're going to do that. And they have, I mean, just, and I hate to trash them, but they don't have good guard play, man. It's terrible guard play.
Well, I'll
terrible
say this. Listen, Hunter, I'll say this because you bring up the identity. I think their identity is kind of going through their combos. I don't necessarily think they're bigs, but Jamal West Jr., Elijah Jones, Kasim Watson, and they're going to kind of live and die by that. And today, they kind of died by it. They don't really have, like you mentioned, good guard play that can be as consistent for this team moving forward. And the only thing that you can bank yourself on for the rest of the season is that this is still a bad league. If UTEP beat Missouri State today, it wouldn't have been a huge surprise. I mean, this is Missouri State. It's Liberty versus everybody else in this conference. I think that's a cop-out answer, though, because you still have to make the league tournament, and you don't want to bow out like round one of the conference tournament come Huntsville, Alabama at the end of this year. That's another thing that you don't want to want to happen.
I don't see how Golding returns next year. This is his team full of his players. And what is it, year five?
Extension. Yeah. So you're saying buyout. You're saying buyout.
You have to. Unless you want to go even further down the hole with this loser, you have to. It's just he's got no clue how to recruit. He's a developer, but that type of program has come and gone. That's not the atmosphere. That's not what we're working with now. It's win this year because your team next year is going to be different. And, you know, unfortunately, out of, you know, you guys in the studio and whoever else, you weren't around for the heydays of UTEP basketball. But the thing that they always had during those 80s and that 92 team was two stellar guards. Those successful teams ran through two guards. there is no way they would have ever gone 7 minutes plus without a field goal. They just wouldn't have allowed that. Even that 92 team, they had Marlon Maxey and David Van Dyke down low. And those guys weren't as good as scorers as even Jamal West and Elijah Jones. But the difference is, this guy has not recruited one quality guard his whole time here, and that's what the teams run on. And you absolutely need that for success.
Well, David Terrell Jr. and Corey Camper Jr. would beg to differ on that. I mean, hey, they're having success.
They're killing it right now,
Hunter.
I'll mention the stats.
I haven't done it in a while, so I'll mention the stats right now for both guys. But I appreciate your phone call, Hunter. Well, any thoughts there, Paige? I thought Hunter brought everybody back down to earth, and I'll get Sal's thoughts on this one too. But your thoughts first.
You know what? He's completely right. I'm a fresh fish in a big old pond figuring out the ways of this UTEP. Loads to different color of oranges. Like you said, one person tweeted out he's bleeding orange. It's like, well, what shade are we bleeding, right? Let's have a discussion on this. I can see that perspective. It's tough being a fan base where your team is consistently not providing the results that you would like to see. Being a sports fan, it's tough. There are teams that I've rooted for, and you just want them to win so badly, and it just doesn't happen. And you start to think, well, whose problem is it then? Is it coaches? Is it the guards? How can we get this issue resolved? And that's what keeps us coming back to sports, is that you hope that one day that will change. Now, is it going to change in my time here? I'm not quite sure, Adrian. We got to keep these games going. But
maybe as an alum.
I'll come back here and say, you know what? I told you guys from the start, I believed in them. Okay. But, it is tough, though, and I completely understand both sides. But as an athlete, the only thing you can do is focus on the next one. We just got to keep looking forward, keep working hard. I say we as if I'm on the team, right? But it is, that's the thing, though, is you get so invested in it that you feel like you're on that team, which is why these people care from decades of losing and letdown. I completely understand that side.
Okay, I feel like that was pretty fair to say. And also, I will say this to your point. I mean, this team right here, the way that it's been, the bar is kind of lower. I mean, because of where they're at right now at 7-13 overall. And, when you have listeners like Hunter who's watched UTEP year over year for years and decades, I mean, a 7-13 team is just going to feel unacceptable. And he echoes the sentiments that a lot of other fans unfortunately have. And I thought, UTEP could have turned a bit of a corner this weekend. I think they could still do so, Sal, if they win three of these four games at home. I think that's still a lot to ask for, though. Any thoughts, Sal, on just, kind of the points Hunter brought up and where this team is at and kind of, where the future hangs for UTEP basketball?
It's interesting for sure because we don't know that answer yet. The season has to finish itself off. And we know Liberty's, first place in the conference. They're really good, but it's still a conference where anything can happen, right? One team can get hot and make a deep run. Maybe it's Missouri State for all we know. I don't know. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen yet, but to make decisions now at this point is just not – it's not too smart about that. You know what I mean? Do it when the season's over if that's the case, but maybe that's just thinking about something that's foolish in the first place.
Here you go, Sal. You ready for this? I'm going to start off with Ahmad Bynum, who's in junior college, okay? By the way, here's Ahmad Bynum's career so far. He goes to DePaul, then he reroutes to Trinity Valley Community College on UTEP's team last year, leaves the team. This year, he's with Bellevue, a junior college team. He is currently averaging 20 points a game, shooting 44% from the floor, 38% from beyond the arc, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. By the way, I think he had a monster game recently, like a 30-plus point game. Junior college, okay? I'm shrugging that one off. No big deal. I just had to mention it, okay?
Yeah.
Here we go. And Zay, I wish I could – Zay's face on this one right here is going to be just jaw-dropping. And I think earlier this year I was already ready to anoint Tyrese Watson as the next version of this guy, and I feel like that now feels blasphemous despite the injury to Tyrese Watson. And I think he can end up being a really good player. But David Terrell Jr., North Texas, who, by the way, the Mean Green on the season, 12-8, they're winning, but they're not a great team in the American. David Terrell Jr., 12.8 points per game, 4 rebounds a game, 5 assists, and 2 turnovers, okay? Best numbers he's ever had in his career by far. Last year, he was 8.3 points per game for the Miners. He had 3 rebounds a game, about 3 assists. And, yeah, he had 3 turnovers almost last year. So that's what he averaged. This year, he started all 20 games for North Texas. He's one of the focal points for that team and averaging over double figures a game. Here we go. Here's the big one, Sal, okay? Corey Camper Jr. goes out, makes big bucks with Nevada, who will, by the way, be a Mountain West team, an opponent for the Miners next year. Corey Camper Jr. this year, 16 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's shooting almost 50% from the floor. He's shooting 43% from beyond the arc, making an average of 2 a game. This is a huge jump for Corey Camper Jr. in his senior season. Last year, he was 10 a game for the Miners. This year, 16 points a game for Nevada, the Wolfpack, Sal. Corey Camper Jr.
Oh, man. No, he's balling right now. And the scary part, Adrian, he's doing it in 3 less minutes per game, right? So he's extremely more efficient out there when he doesn't have to be out there as often as he was last year. This guy's only – how about this? This is funny to say. Just seeing Corey Camper play basketball here recently, he's only playing 28 and a half minutes. This guy was logging crazy minutes last year, somebody you could rely on. But he's parlayed that into a nice gig with Nevada. So he's found his own over there, that's for sure. 16 is crazy, man.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. More in a moment here on 600 ESPN El Paso. (919) 550-5600-9 If you want to follow up the run of calls we've had, Nevada, by the way, with Corey Camper Jr., 14-5 in the Mountain West, 6-2 overall in the conference. He recently had a 31-point game. We had not talked about Corey Camper Jr. or David Terrell for a while, and that was by design, and just because Hunter brought that up. I just wanted to reflect back on those stats. I will say this, you know, the Miners did there was finality to last year's team. There's just no retention across college basketball. This isn't about, you know, retaining one or two guys. The point was, you know, Golding never recruited a guard worth a crap, according to what Hunter was saying. And I refuted that one with the, you know, two players like Camper and David Terrell Jr. And I'd also throw Tay Hardy in that conversation, too. So I think the issue is, Sal, this team doesn't have that guard. And the guard was supposed to be Tyrese Watson. He was supposed to be maybe even the best player on this team. That's why I was so bullish on him. I know people might think, like, okay, slow your roll. Like, Jamal West Jr. is probably the most consistent player game to game. The jump that Elijah Jones made was huge, but he was a guy, I'm talking about Tyrese Watson, who averaged 12 a game last year at Louisiana Monroe. So I really feel like he could have been a focal point of this team, and because they don't have him, I'm not trying to make an excuse for them, but they don't have that guard in their backcourt who could be their go-to player here in this season.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the anchor for them out there, and,
right.
And we've said that, hey, they need a leader out there, somebody who can score, you know, at any given time. I mean, double digits in the Sun Belt, that's nothing to scoff at, so I'll always have respect for that, but it kind of just throws things off track, kind of like the games, right, like how the games unfold.
Sure.
If they don't start out well, it's because, for whatever reason, but if they don't start out well, it's just an uphill battle pretty much all game. And you'd throw your game plan out. But with Watson, it would have been a lot easier. That's somebody that you could have relied on to start things off well. But, you know, they're barely figuring it out now, I think, these last 5 games.
I think so, too. I think they've kind of found their identity without him. Like, what does life look like without Tyrese Watson? I think they've figured that out. So, identity, they've kind of established a bit. But, I hear what you're saying. I hear what Hunter was saying as well about him still feeling like they don't have a true identity. I will push back and say I like the Jones, West Jr., and Watson combo, the trio, kind of leading them in games. And tonight, they gave it what they had, but, you know, struggled offensively in the second half as a team. Hunter checked back in saying, I love your optimism, especially with football, because that's even harder to do. I will say this. It was cool to see EJ Colson in the building today, Paige. He was in the house, UTEP quarterback, the new quarterback that they'll have for next year's team.
Yeah, I didn't even see him walk in. I just saw the photos on social media afterwards, and I was like, man, that is kind of cool. Look at him already supporting the other teams. But yeah, he's right, though. I do have you know, a strong mindset. I'm going to believe in this team. I'm going to believe in any UTEP team. That's just who I am. And you know what? I'll die on that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being, you know, even if I'm the one fan, just the only one supporting them and believing that they can get it done, I'm okay with that.
That's fair. Let's go to sad UTEP fan. Head coach Joe Golden getting he was talking about EJ Colston. EJ Colston is getting acclimated to the losing culture. Very nice. Man, already people bringing down the new UTEP quarterback coming to the game. Ice Cubillos, that three-point shot foul was a neck breaker. Hope to see more of LA Hayes get minutes. The scoring droughts were killer again. Hashtag Miner Talk. Yeah, you could point that one out. You could surely point out the it was the KJ Thomas. It was late in the shot clock. He fouls him. They make all three of those free throws, and it was basically a three-point game for the rest of it. But I mean, I just felt like the Miners fought back as much as they could. The tough one to me, Sal, is they led for 25 minutes and they lose. Like 25 minutes and you lose at home in a game where you were leading at half by 10. The second half offensive struggles just really, really hurt the Miners in a big way.
Out the gate. And that's exactly, in my opinion, what kind of solidified the game. Because you go from having a double-digit lead and looking solid to close out the half. And it was funny seeing the zone right before the half for the Miners. Like, they're going out there to get a stop in the zone. Something you hardly see, for a Joe Golden defense. But to open things up in the second half, those first 5 minutes or so was so crucial, Adrian. And that separation right away, like that lead just evaporated. Because Missouri State was just making better decisions and not rushing things. So, I mean, you go from playing well 20 minutes and then probably well for like 11, 13 minutes, but it's still not enough.
Let's talk other storylines today. Hey, shout out to Otis Frazier, former Miner. He was in the house today, which, by the way, was the Kasim Watson flu game. The last flu game I can remember was Derek Hamilton, Otis Frazier flu game. But it was Derek Hamilton who had the flu, and he balled out last year for the Miners. So I do remember that. That was just last year's squad. What is it with the health stuff? I guess it's just this time of year, man, right? I guess it's like, you know, you're talking the cold weather. It could have an impact on people. So that, I just wanted to point that out. Hey, I'm seeing a lot of fire Jason Hooten marks on social media talking about the New Mexico State head coach. They're currently right now 10-9, 3-6 in conference play. They had a good start in non-conference. They were 8-3, and Sal, they're suddenly 10-9. They've struggled mightily.
And this is a perennial powerhouse in whatever conference they're in. There's been a lot of a conference jumping for one reason or another for this team, and it's just unusual to see a New Mexico State team.
For basketball, right?
Yeah,
I could say perennial championship winning
contender,
program,
yeah.
In basketball year over year, and especially with their NIL.
Exactly. If they're not playing in the NCAA tournament, it's probably the NIT. This is a team who's gotten used to that success in the regular season and even a win or two in the postseason. They're not just happy to make it. So, no, definitely some tough times for them. But it's funny. They're 10-9, and their world is upside down. It's like you're one game over 500. That'd be nice.
That's a good point to make. UTEP 7-13. Good point. They've lost four of their last five, Eric. I mean, that's just bad for the Aggies. You want to chime in on anything else there?
Yeah, I was telling you earlier, losing to FIU today, especially since they were down big and they came back and then they end up dropping that game, that's just not a good look for them. Jason Hoon's been there for a while. People are kind of upset that
AD. They have a new athletic director.
Yep, Mario Moses.
Sometimes
there's
change when there's a new AD. Maybe they make a coaching change when it's all said and done. Who knows?
I mean, we see it all the time in pro sports.
Right.
New GMs, new head coaches, clean house. Maybe that's the first domino to go.
Here's another segment or just thing I want to touch on. I like UTEP's offense that they can kind of individually create their own shots. We see it. We see it from KJ Thomas, who drove today to the basket, had his shoulder down, got to the rim, and made a nice layup. We saw it from guys like L.A. Hayes, who can shoot off the dribble in a pretty nice way. I really like how he could do that. Jamal West Jr. can score at all three levels. Same with Elijah Jones. Same with Kasim Watson, but my biggest issue with this squad right here is the fact that I don't like the late shot clock plays. I don't like when they drag it out, then they rush into a shot, and it just looks disorganized all the way around. So offensively, that's got to change. They've got to figure out consistency in that regard. Paige, you ready to take another caller? This is from one of our troll callers. So
all
the trolls
are
out today.
They're out for me.
They're out for you. All right, let's jump out to the phones. It is Augustine who's joining us. Augustine, Paige is with us in the house, along with Sal and Eric. Welcome aboard on Minor Talk. How are you?
Hey, Sal, Eric, and Adrian. Good afternoon.
No address to Paige. Wow. That's awful.
Sorry, Paige. I forgot. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No worries. Rough start. No, I'm just
rough
kidding.
Rough start. Rough start indeed.
Rough start. Hey, but I have a question. From last game to today's game, because I didn't listen to the last 10 minutes. I'm actually driving somewhere. But here's my question. Last game, they seemed to have a little bit more confidence in their shooting, in their system. Did you hear or see anything that remotely talks about that? I mean, they're Division I players, but there comes a point in time where confidence really comes in and bites them in the butt. And is it they're just weak-minded and they don't have confidence to actually show up at the last second, or is this team just a bad team?
I think that with this squad right here, the confidence factor maybe like peaked itself up in the second half when, you know, Missouri State was on this crazy run, 13-1. But I'll credit the toughness and the fight that UTEP showed, because Augustine, they did close this game out on a 10-3 run with a chance to tie this game. Missouri got a late, you know, pair of free throws when it was over, when this one was pretty much done and the Miners just needed to foul. So I would say the way that the Miners closed out, especially on defense, creating the steals and looking a little tougher, that was the confidence. It's just consistent confidence. Like when you're down or when you're in kind of a shooting slump offensively, mentally getting out of that, I think that's kind of the key thing to me. What would you say differently, Paige? Anything differently there?
No, I'm with you. I think it can kind of go back into the fan base where they want to see a team win, so they're going to be supportive of a team that's winning. And whenever they're not winning, then, you know, you hear a lot more chirps coming from the crowd. And I think that does have a huge impact on the players. I mean, you hear things being yelled behind your back and just some nasty stuff. And I would think, you know what, if I was sitting on that bench too, now I'm the type of player where I'm going to, you know, that's going to fire me up. I'm going to go out and make every single shot from anywhere. But I feel like it definitely does have an impact on players. But it's hard to say, you know, confidence is one of those things where you can't always see if they have it or not. It can't always be shown even through stats. So it's kind of one of those tough subjects to try to figure out.
Augustine, anything else for Paige?
No, Paige, I apologize. Next time I'll say hello, Paige, and screw everybody else.
I love it.
It's usually that anyways. Augustine, thank you for calling in on the program. Appreciate that. 915-505-6009 as we start winding down Minor Talk. Appreciate everybody here in the building helping out on the show here today. Appreciate our callers here on the show as well. The Miners losing this one. They had a chance to sweep the weekend, but yet Missouri State comes out on top, 62-57 when it's all said and done. By the way, I did want to mention this. 3,788 fans, more fans today than on Thursday evening. So just by a little bit, but yeah, a little bit more today. I like the crowd. I thought they were into it. I think the second half they were kind of, you know, on stilts, just like the team. They were kind of worried about it. But in the first half, the crowd really got into it. When the free throws were up in the second half, crowd definitely got into it, got loud. So yeah, let's see if the Miners can continue that trend. The affordability for it is huge. You know, the $9.15. I think that'll carry into next Wednesday and next Saturday. So switching it up on us, Sal, they're doing next Wednesday against Louisiana Tech at the Don, and then fall, you know, that's out, you know, after that one, it's a Delaware game Saturday, January 31st. So Miners need two wins. I'll take two wins. I'll say they sweep next weekend. I said they would sweep this weekend, so I sound like the eternal optimist right now. And maybe I should be harder on this team, but I'm going to stick to that. I think they sweep next weekend against a team like Louisiana Tech, who's beatable. They're 11-8, 4-4 in Conference USA. They just beat Kennesaw State on Friday. And then I think they, you know, beat Delaware, who's just bad right now. I mean, they're
last place.
Yeah,
huh?
Four straight they've lost, or I should say five in a row. They just were blown out today against Liberty, 67-51. So I got UTEP winning both games next week. What about you? Where are you at?
Hey, there's a good chance. I do like their chances against Delaware, but for Louisiana Tech, Adrian, 0-7 away from the TAC in Ruston, so they're fighting some demons on their end too. They are in the middle of the conference though. They are 4-4, so it's nothing to scoff at either. But they just have one more win than the Miners when it comes to conference play, so they're within reach. It'll be interesting to see. I don't want to make any predictions.
Let's go your way, Eric. Let's get some final thoughts from you, and then a preview ahead. What do you think for next week? And final thoughts from you today after UTEP loses 62-57 to Missouri State.
Next week, I think they do split as well. 3 points that I really want to bring up just for this game real quick.
Let's do it.
3 minutes, 44 seconds. There was a timeout. Missouri State was on a 2 minute, 54 second scoring drought. They were down 24-18. And as soon as I typed that into my phone, Elijah Jones hits a three to put them up 27-18. That was just kind of funny timing. At halftime, UTEP was up 31-21. If you would have told me that Keith Palik only had 2 points, went 1 for 6 from the field, and you would have told me that's not good for Missouri State. And then to start the second half, UTEP came out 0-for-3 from the field, and Missouri State went 3-for-3 from the field, which they ended up coming back to go up to within 31-28. And I think that's really where the second half started to just get away from them.
I feel like that was a pretty good assessment on that one. I think, like, even though the Miners came back in the end, it just wasn't enough. Guys, the crazy part about this is we could be talking about a crazy come-from-behind UTEP victory if Kasim Watson drills that three-pointer, because I think Miners had all momentum going into overtime, if that were to be the case, and I think they eke out a win if that one was just to rattle in. So it just hinged on that final play, and I think that's why I'm not going to get too hyperbolic either way of saying, like, oh, the sky's falling after this UTEP loss. Like, we could have easily talked about a UTEP win or them sending it to overtime rally back after being down 10 points in this one in the second half. Paige, I'll swing it your way. Final thoughts from this one right here and a look ahead to next week. Where do you see the Miners? La Tech and Delaware.
You know me, optimist as always. But no, I do think that couple seconds, I took a video whenever he took that final shot and his eyes were on the prize. I thought, this thing's going in. Everybody's about to erupt. This thing's going to go nuts. And it just didn't. You know, I think UTEP is kind of one of those schools where a lot of the sports, whenever they're playing teams that they know, oh, they're an easy team, we should beat them, I find them struggling more often than not. So I think the Delaware one kind of worries me just a tad, only because it's that confidence thing. Like I said, those things that you can't read on the stat sheet, those things kind of make me a little nervous, but I'm going to go with my OG vote and say, yeah, I think that they can get it done.
Okay, Sal, we'll get some final thoughts from you. Give me your final thoughts. You already gave us your picks for next week, but your final thoughts after this one. Missouri State defeats UTEP 62-57. Any key takeaways you have from this one right here, or you kind of like me, not getting too crazy about this one either way? We could have talked about a tie going to overtime and maybe UTEP eking out a victory if Kasim Watson hit that late three.
Two things stick out most to me. I think you get out to a better start and you have a new person in the starting lineup with L.A. Hayes. So if he's not going to start, get him somewhere. Forget the 21-minute mark. I want to see like that 25-minute mark for L.A. Hayes. You know, we're starting to see it gradually increase. I don't know what the limit is for the staff, but kind of want to see him on the floor a bit more. And then for the second one, I don't know, man. I think they gave themselves a chance against one of the top teams in the conference. Play here or there, we're talking a completely different game, but hey, you were at home against the now number two team in the conference, and you had a chance to extend the game. You can't be too upset with yourself.
Okay, Joe Chacon chimes in with the late one. Clean passes in the second half absolutely killed the momentum. Still see us getting in the conference USA tournament. I would say that's like locked in, right? Like,
well, if the season ends today, no.
There's no way.
They're second to last place in the conference, yeah.
You're right. There's a three-way tie right now. New Mexico State, Florida International, and UTEP. I still see you. There's no way to me, Sal. There's no way they miss out, right? Right?
Well, that's tough.
Like,
man,
a look ahead? There's no way. I'm going to stamp it. I almost want to say a tat, like a calf tat. There's no chance that UTEP misses the conference tournament.
It's very hard, Adrian, because they're in theory, right? They're in a three-way tie with FIU and New Mexico State with a 3-6 record. But the thing that's haunting them is they don't even have double digit wins. Those teams do.
Man.
So you're chasing three wins. In theory, you're three games behind if you're going to be tied with these other teams.
La Tech. That's why this is so big. That's why Louisiana Tech on Thursday is massive. You got to get both these. You're right. Like, actually, forget about sweeping the weekend. If UTEP doesn't sweep this weekend, they are in trouble to miss the tournament. Like, then it's an uphill battle. You got to fight to do it.
It's like this all the way up until late February, early March.
And we're talking about 10 teams. 10 out of the 12 teams make it, dude. You got to get – there's no excuse. You got to get in this. There's no excuse to that. No, I'm not taking that. All right, the final things I'll say is Joe Chacon's hashtag made me laugh, okay? So he says, hashtag glasses half full, hashtag not time to turn the page. What do we think? Not time to turn the page? I don't like it. He does nicknames for everybody.
I get it. I think Sal, he was going to say pal. I think he was going to say turn the page, but he's like, she just got there. We don't want to turn her away. That's rude. So out of respect, he put it. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll come up with a good one, man. No sweat.
Hashtag Adrian is my brodus. Hashtag Sal is my pal. Hashtag Paige all the rage.
Oh.
Ooh, nice.
All right.
A little better than but then he also had a hashtag why hasn't Paige followed me back. Don't follow him for this. Paige, don't follow Joe Chacon because of this. Let's keep this as a running joke, because then he's gonna get more upset about this.
I want these creative juices to keep flowing. I need some more names. I gotta get some more heckling. You know, I'm in for it.
Okay,
here for it.
Good. No follow there, Joe. That was a minor talk ordinance that we threw out there right there. So guys, great job by everybody here in the building. We appreciate everybody for chiming in. Appreciate everybody listening on the program. You missed any of the Minor Talk show here on the program, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Hearing some Alexa and some Amazon podcasts have us as well. So good stuff right there. UTEP falls in this one. Missouri State on top 62-57 to finish this one out. For Sal Montes, for Paige Wood, for Eric Reyes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're closing out today and we are done here on Minor Talk. We'll be back in action next Wednesday. Not Thursday, Wednesday. Miners taking on Louisiana Tech right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.